Today's scripture reading is from Proverbs chapter 10, the first six verses. The Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is the grief of his mother. Treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivers from death. The Lord will not allow the righteous soul to famish, but he casts away the desire of the wicked. He who has a slack hand becomes poor, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. He who gathers in summer is a wise son. He who sleeps in harvest is a son who causes shame. Blessings are on the head of the righteous, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked.
A well-known man once said, "If you step on people in this life, you're going to come back as a cockroach." Well, I don't know that much about this particular man. I do know that he's made a lot of sayings. If he intended to be literal with these words, he was wrong. Reincarnation is a false idea. If the point, however, was not designed to be literal, that is, people can make choices, then he was right. God puts before each person two simple but very important choices. We can choose evil, or it is possible to choose good. We all make one of those choices as we live our lives, and if we think about choosing evil, it is a deliberate choice. It is a choice that can also come by simply neglecting to choose what's good. If we choose good, we are defining good in a specific way. We mean good in the eyes of God. We can only be good if we obey God and do so on His terms. In the book of Proverbs, we are given a lot of information about man's two choices, good or evil. We want to look at passages this morning that come just from the book of Proverbs. We're not going to go anywhere else. And these passages describe man's two options. Our study, of course, will begin with man's worst possible choice, and that is choosing evil. Proverbs 4, verse 17 is our first text, and as you look at that passage, you might be surprised at what you find in that verse. The writer says, "Those who select evil eat the bread of wickedness, and they drink the wine of violence." In this particular passage, evil is portrayed, it is put forth as a food, and people nourish it. People use it for nourishment. They're strengthened by it, and that's the source of their life. Evil can be a choice, as you look at Proverbs 4:17, that literally overwhelms an individual. And we live in a culture where a lot of times newscasters and others, they ask the why question. Why do bad things happen? This was asked not too long ago when you had the shooting at Virginia Tech, the other shooting in Illinois recently, and newscasters, they come on after they've given the basic facts and they say, why? What would motivate an individual to go to a school and go on a shooting rampage? Or they would see some other kind of savage attack. And the commentators ask the why question. What is the basis for crimes that seem so senseless? Well, it's often the case that our world wants to engage in studies and psychoanalyze things to figure out evil. We could save a lot of time and a lot of money if we simply turn to the Word of God to see what it says. Men have the option of choosing evil, and that is precisely what some select. It's also the case that as people choose evil, not everyone selects the same level. Most would agree that there are degrees of evil guide people as they live their lives. At least some of the evil is described in Proverbs 4, verse 17, as far as what people choose. And that passage shows just how terrible a choice it is. Another passage which helps us understand evil and the choice is Proverbs chapter 15, verse 28. In this particular passage, the writer becomes a little more specific about evil. He describes evil from the standpoint of speech. The writer says, "When a person is evil, out of their mouth pours forth." It sounds like water shooting from a hose. Evil pours forth bad things. Here's the exact wording of the text. "The heart of the righteous studies to answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things." In many ways, as you look at our world, it encourages people to be evil, especially as we look at speech. Our world tells people you should be able to say whatever you want, whenever you want, to whomever you want. Now, society, of course, on one level does not really believe that. And we see that demonstrated from time to time in the world when they hear someone say something that's really bad or something that they don't agree with. Oh, you shouldn't have said that. And then they come down and they condemn people. But typically, most of what is evil is permitted by the world. When we think about speech, it is, of course, certainly one of the greatest examples of evil that we can cite. When I talk about evil speech, I'm not limiting the description to voice communication. It is possible to speak using the print media. We see that sometimes with newspaper articles. Speech is also possible through things like television, that medium, or radio, and the internet. When you look at all of these different areas, you find in a hurry that evil speech abounds. We hear it, we see it, and we read it on a regular basis. If we've decided to choose God and Christianity, the side that we've not yet gotten to, the side that's good, we need to look at our speech. We need to examine whether or not our communication is evil or righteous. It's not enough for a child of God to say our speech is good in some forums. That is, if it's verbal speech, it's good. But if it is speech that is of another type, somehow these other areas, different rules apply. No, that's not the case. Righteous people need to be concerned about their speech in all places and at all times. We need to ask if our speech is associated with God and righteousness or things that are sensual and sinful. You may remember that from the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said his people are to be different. They are to be the salt and the light of the world. If our verbal and our written speech are like what we find in the world, then the Bible in the book of Proverbs classifies us with wicked people, wicked men and wicked women. Speaking like the wicked is a bad choice for all people, because the Bible says in Proverbs 15, that passage that was read, it pours forth. And we see that demonstrated time after time after time. God's people, however, use words of grace and goodness wherever their presence is found. When you look at what the proverb writer has to say about evil, you find that when people pursue this particular course, this way of life, they are really a blight on society. The writer demonstrates this in another proverb, Proverbs chapter 28, verse 15, and I want to read this particular passage as well. In this particular text, he gives an illustration that involves two animals. The first animal is a lion that's roaring. The second animal is a bear, and it's not only a bear, it is an attacking bear. Now, not many of us would want to face a bear that's on a rampage, ready to attack, and most of us would also not want to face a lion that was ready to pounce on us and kill us. Well, the writer said that we can have this very type of experience by or through evil people. Again, verse 15 of Proverbs 28. As or like a roaring lion and a raging bear, so is a wicked ruler over a poor people. A wicked ruler. That is, if there is someone who has power, and for us that, of course, could range from the local level to the federal level, a wicked ruler, especially when poor people are involved, is like an angry, ravenous animal. Wickedness not only affects a person who is evil, it has an impact on the lives of others. That's true. We've seen that demonstrated within our lifetime as we look at the world. When a ruler is evil, things are especially bad. Our nation, we're thinking about now an election in less than a year. And one of the things that should concern us is the character of the man or the woman who is elected. From local elections to the highest office in the land, we should care, because of what we find in the book of Proverbs, we should care about the character of our politicians. Now, I recognize that we cannot see into the hearts of people. We will probably never know anybody who's elected on a personal level. But you know, as we look at the candidates from the local folks all the way up to the office of president, we can try to get some insight as to their character and see whether or not they are more on the side of wickedness or more on the side of righteousness. A wicked ruler is like a big and dangerous animal. Other cultures have faced that kind of thing, and choosing evil turns someone into a very unpleasant person. Evil people are so bad that as you look at the book of Proverbs, you find that they have little regard and oftentimes hate, great hate, for those who are not like them. In Proverbs 29, verse 27, the Bible says that to a righteous person, an evil individual is like an abomination. Well, that's significant. If we are trying to be good, if we're trying to do what's right, how are we going to look at and regard evil people? Well, that's not going to be done in a favorable light. This is one truth. At the end of that verse, though, Proverbs 29, verse 27, we're given a second point. And that is, wicked people hate the righteous. Wicked or evil individuals have little regard, little respect, little use for those who are good. In other words, God says there is very little fellowship between good people and evil people. If we consider ourselves a godly person and the world looks at us and says, well, I think you're just fine, we get along great. Something is wrong. Either we are not nearly as good as we think we are, or the world may not know who we are because we're blending in. Righteousness and evil go together about as well as daylight and dark. There simply is no fellowship. In Proverbs 29, verse 10, the Bible says, evil people hate the righteous so much. The level of hatred is so significant that in at least some cases, the evil try to kill the righteous. Well, if this is how evil people act, God is probably not going to have a very high regard for them. And that's precisely what we find in the book of Proverbs. In Proverbs 15 and verse 9, we're told that God despises the way of the wicked. If we follow the path of unrighteousness, we will be separated from God, eternally condemned. At the end of the text, we are informed that God loves, however, those who follow righteousness. An evil person may be religious. They may attend services and think, we're going to worship God. We're going to offer a sacrifice to him. And even though they may come, even though they may appear to be a righteous individual, in the book of Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 8, God said, I despise your sacrifices. If you're an evil person, I will turn away my face when you come to worship. Choosing evil will put us on the side of Satan and not God. Wicked people often have many hopes. They have dreams. They have aspirations. But in Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 28, the Bible says, God tells them your hopes are vain. You may have some success in life, but ultimately you're going to perish. In fact, in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 33, the writer says that on the evil, on the wicked, God curses them. The curse of God is in the house of the wicked. Now think about those four words. The curse of God. That's the fate for the wicked. If we were to have an employer who opposed us, we could find a new job. If we were to have friends who would turn on us for some reason, we could find some new friends. If our family turned against us, that would eventually be meaningless in eternity. But the curse of God is something that can begin in this life, and it will follow a person for eternity, if that is the choice that people make and they do not repent. In fact, in Proverbs 24 and verse 20, the Bible says that God snuffs out the wicked as we may blow out a candle or as we may blow out a match. So the writer says all who are evil will be one day rubbed out by God. Evil people listen to evil talk, Proverbs 17 verse 4, and they plot evil, Proverbs 16 verse 27. Most of the world, the Bible affirms, will pursue this kind of course. And the scriptures promise, not only in the book of Proverbs, but in the New Testament, they eventually will be thrust away from God. Pursuing evil, whether it is a little or whether it is a lot, is a very bad choice. It's a destructive choice. It is a choice that God will punish for eternity. Well, that's not a choice, I'm sure, that if we're here this morning, we want to take. That's not a path that we want to go on. So there is a second choice that is available to all people. The Bible refers to this second choice as the good way. It is called a straight path that directs a person's way in Proverbs 11 and verse 5. Now, when a person decides that they're not going to take the evil path, they're going to take the good path, then of course that's going to be a way that is often mocked by the world. If we believe in God, if we believe in being good or righteous, and we believe in the Word of God, society will often make fun of us. It seems, and we talked about this morning in our Bible class a little bit, the upstairs class, that it seems. If society in America continues on the present course, persecution is probably not going to be too far down the road. That's exactly consistent with what we find in the book of Proverbs. When a person decides to live as a Christian, and we talk about living as a Christian, we mean a faithful, a committed, a dedicated child of God, he or she is bucking the system. That means that we are not going to believe. And we're not going to do as the world does. As Paul said in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, you know, be not conformed to this world. Don't allow the world to conform you to its mold. If we're not going to believe what the world believes and we're not going to do what the world believes, we're going to stick out in the crowd. And yet, even though that's going to create some difficulty for us, the Bible says that this is the wise, this is the right choice. In fact, in Proverbs 13 and verse 6, the wise man says that righteousness, choosing good, guards a person. Our world understands something about protection. Police officers, they wear bulletproof vests. Cars may have armor plating. There is bulletproof glass used by various businesses. When a person decides to clothe himself or herself with God and goodness, he or she has a special type of protection. His life or her life is guarded by a system of values that leads that individual to the best possible life. Now, that protection, of course, is going to be something that the world attacks. We've already shown that evil hates good. But even those when those attacks are heaped upon individuals, the person can withstand them. In Proverbs 24 and verse 16, and we're going to read that particular passage as well. The writer in this particular text tells us that righteous people can fall and will fall. He says that they may fall several times, not because they're evil, not because they're failing to do something, but because the assaults of the world can be so terrible. Christianity is not the easiest course to follow, but it is the best course. Here the writer says, for a righteous man falls seven times and rises up again, but the wicked are overthrown by calamity. God's people, as they try to live righteous lives, lives are going to fall many times. They're going to stumble because of what is cast before them. But the text tells us that they will get up. God's people can be cast down, but here the text is telling us not destroyed. Such a fate, however, is not going to be the ultimate end for the wicked. Ultimately, God says these people, even though they may have some success in life, they're going to fall, and they will fall so far and so hard that they cannot recover. So our choice really is, do we want to be on the side that's going to win, or do we want to be on the side that's going to lose? The Bible affirms, Jesus himself said in Matthew chapter 7, that most will be losers in eternity. Most will take the broad way, they will pursue the evil way, and therefore be lost. In Proverbs 12, verse 3, the Bible says, the root of the righteous shall not be moved. Now think about that. The root of the righteous shall not be moved. Sometimes a force like a tornado will literally uproot trees. Imagine, however, a tree that is planted so securely, the roots are so deep, the tree is like cased in cement that it cannot be uprooted. A tornado may surround, a storm may batter that tree time and time again. It may pull and tug and twist and do all the things that it can possibly do, but the tree stays put. That's the image of the godly person that we get in Proverbs 12, verse 3. Righteousness means that people have and they maintain integrity, righteousness, and innocence as they go through life. Our world looks at these values and they laugh at them. They say, oh, you've got to be kidding. Those things are long gone. Who expects integrity? From the least to the greatest in society, we find people who are crooks, people who are deceitful. Dishonesty is rampant on every hand. Who today can possibly expect righteousness in a cesspool of sin? Society says, oh, that's not possible. That's not right thinking. That idea is reserved for crackpots. Who expects anyone to have innocence in a world filled with transgression? Well, the Bible says the people of God are to display those qualities. In Proverbs 11, verse 3, we are told that righteous people are guided by integrity. Now, most in the world that we look at today, they do not possess that, but it is available. And it is a necessary quality to please God. In Proverbs 11 and verse 6, the Bible refers to righteousness. It's possible to be righteous in an ungodly world. In an evil world, God's people can still be upright. In Proverbs 21 and verse 8, we're told that it is possible and God requires of his people, the folks who choose good, to be pure or innocent. A person who's truly upright will show that in their speech, Proverbs 8, verse 6. There the writer spoke about speaking excellent things. His lips will only tell of the things that are right. From a man's word to all of his other actions, a truly good man makes and leaves this kind of impression. From all these proverbs and others that we've not listed, you find that throughout that book there are two choices, and people will make one of those two. We can blend in with the world to one degree or another. Now, we may not choose to do all the things that the world does, but we may say, well, we're going to side with the side of evil, and we will be enough like the world to be accepted. Or our other choice. Option number two is reject the world. We look at what it offers, and we say, no, that's not going to be my choice. That's not going to be our choice. Long ago, a very wise and brave man said, choose you this day whom you will serve. Joshua 24, verse 15. Way back when, only two choices were available, righteousness or evil. And those two choices are still the same two choices that are put before people today. This is, of course, if we choose good, the life where self is put last. God is put first. And when we put God first, that means that we're not going to be perfect people. But it means that we are going to be seeking righteousness in every aspect of our lives. The other choice is to live as we see fit. We're going to let our lives direct our course in life. Which choice have we made? Which choice are we going to make today and tomorrow? And if we have coming weeks and months and years, what's going to be our choice? Well, we know that we can't choose good unless we become a child of God, and that means we've got to believe. Repentance means that we're turning from what's evil and we're turning to what's right. If we confess Christ as Lord, we're confessing that we want to do what's good, what's right. And when we're baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of our sins, we're saying that we're severing ourselves from that old way of life. We want to pursue what's right, what's new, what's good, and what's going to lead us to heaven. If we've made that choice to become a Christian and we have become a child of God, but we, as we look at our lives, we know that we've drifted, we've slipped, we've gone back to that course that's wrong. And we've failed to take the course that is good and to abide on that path. This morning, will you not consider the fact that there are only two choices, two options, two courses, two ways? And if you're on the wrong one, today is the day to make it right. If we can help you either right your relationship with God by becoming a Christian or help putting you back on the right path, we let us know as we stand and encourage you with this song.